Okay. Fine. So we finished Shema and Baruch Shem, and now we move to Ve'ahavta. So even when you get to the first word of Ve'ahavta, you shall love God, so now we have to ask, well, what exactly does that mean? And this is, before we even get to that, right, that's sure how much you have to do it, but what is the love of God? What does it even mean? And here you have very varied perspectives in Chazal, in Rishonim. So let's see. What do you think it means? Love? Okay, so Ezra already jumps to the possibility that love isn't emotional. It's about actions. Oh, okay. So now Ezra changes his mind, right? Now Ezra changes his mind, right? Ezra says, no, it's about actions that are driven by emotion. But that already highlights that what could love mean here? So love could mean an emotion, and then you got to figure out what that emotion is. It could mean not an emotion per se, but act in a way that is loving of God, right? It's action-focused. It could be a hybrid, which is love God such that you will perform actions that are infused with a particular type of perspective, right? It could be intellectual, right? It could be that love isn't emotional. It could be intellectual. There is another position that appears in Chazal that is not exactly identical to any of the things we just said, which is, I don't know if you would know this, which is act in such a way that other people will come to love God. Okay? So, okay. So what does that mean? So this view actually appears in the Sifrei and more explicitly in the Gemara in Yoma, where Va'ahavta Hashem Elokecha means cause him to be loved by others. Now, what does it mean, loved? So in the Sifrei, what's the example? Who's the paradigm of the person who fulfilled Ve'ahavta on this day, which is Ahivecha al Abriot, to make him loved by other people? It's causative rather than Avram. Right? So the Midrash takes this as what Avram did, that he, the Hanefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, right, that he brought Sarah and Lot and all the people that he had inspired to convert, or whatever convert meant at that point, in Haran. That's what the Sifrei understands Ve'ahavta to mean. Ahevecha al habriyot. And the Gemara is more elaborate on this and says that when a Talmud Chacham, right, someone who learns, studies Mishnah and Gemara and Tanakh, etc., when he talks nicely to people and he's honest in business, what do people say about him? Ashrei mi shelamdo Torah, right? Praiseworthy are people who learn Torah. Praiseworthy are their parents who taught him Torah. Praiseworthy are their teachers who taught them Torah. Woe to those who have not studied Torah, because how have you seen that guy, that Talmud Chacham, how great he acts, how beautiful, how refined he is? So they, right, so Ahavta for them sounds very much like what we would call Kiddush Hashem. No, that's exactly the point. It's if you are a person who learns Torah and you're a good person, then you cause people to look at you and say, whoa, it's the Torah that made him who he is. Wow, Torah is awesome. Right? So this model that appears in the Gemara and the Sifrei thinks that Vahavta is to live in such a way so that other people will turn to God in love. Now, again, is it totally clear what that means? No, because you're acting in such a way that other people will love God. But what are they going to do? Are they going to love God emotionally? Are they going to follow a godly path because you've modeled it so well? Right? Meaning the same questions that we asked about what would it mean for you to love God can be asked on this, which is what would it mean to cause other people to love God? But this is the way the primary focus of the Sifrei is this notion of causing other people to love God. Okay? But again, what do you mean? Okay, good. But this will stand for us. This is God. He points out to figure out, okay, well, what is this love that we're trying to figure out? So, what do we want to, who should we start with? In Migdal, there's only one person we should obviously start with, but who should we start with? Okay, let's start with the Rambam, okay? Because who else could we start with here? So how does the Rambam understand love of God? Gavi, if no one else knows it, you'd better know it. Anyone else can help Gavi, but Gavi at least should know it, because we quoted this at least 100 times last year when we went to CERN, leading up to going to CERN, when we were at CERN, of why it was important to understand nature and understand science, because what does the Rambam think? What?
Understanding God's creation.
Very good. Right? The Rambam has a very intellectual perspective. Here it says, what does God mean? Right? What is Keter Aderech La'avato Lirato? You okay, Adam? Okay. I just thought it was like I sometimes find myself just taking my temperature like 10 times a day, because like I'm like, oh, I don't feel perfect. Maybe I have a few, I'm like paranoid already, you know? Okay. But the Rambam says, what's the way to love and fear God? So what does he say? Contemplate his great and wondrous deeds and contemplate creation. And when you think about this, what will happen? So first you'll withdraw, you'll be frightened, you'll remember that you're small and puny, but then you will want to come to God, right? So for the Rambam, Ava and Yira, maybe the result is emotional, but the process of getting there is intellectual reflection about God's greatness. Now, in the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam focuses on seeing God's greatness through nature, right? Through nature, through science. Now, Rabbi Soloveitchik spends a lot of time understanding this Rambam, where the way the Rambam seems to describe the emotion is it's like a pendulum, right? That the more you understand God, so the more you want to be close to him, right? But the more you try to be close to him, the more you, right, it sinks in how great he is, and you withdraw, right? Because you're afraid, right? So fear and love are, in this complicated relationship, you're constantly taking steps forward, so to speak, and steps back, right? And there's this, exactly, right? The more you want to and the more you become close, the more you're overwhelmed and you withdraw, right? And then you do it again. So that is, and therefore Ava and Yira for the Rambam are related in that sense, right? Ava is the expression of the attempt to come closer, and Yira is that recognition of the overwhelming nature of God. So fear, right, is that feeling overwhelmed, and love is overwhelmed in the sense that you want to reach out. Now, right, Lamb also develops, right, this, like the Rav, right, that it starts with Ava, that when you first understand it, your first desire is to jump towards God, right, but the more you understand, the more you need to pull back, and that's the relationship, and love and fear therefore constrain each other. But for both of them, the Rambam really emphasizes that love comes from knowledge, right? It's fundamentally a function of the intellectual. And the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva makes this very clear. And he says that you should set aside time to think about God, and then he says, Al pi ha-de'a tiyeh ha-ava. Based on the intellect, or the more you know about God, the more you love him. Now, it's true that the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva describes the love as, it's like the love of a man to a woman, like it's overwhelming, passionate love, right? So the Rambam does seem to think that emotional, passionate love will emerge from it, but the Rambam thinks that emotional love is a function of, or a product of, intellectual understanding and engagement. Okay? Yes, Ezra.
Right.
It's possible, right? There is some notion to that, that it's a, it's coming closer and stepping away. It's definitely possible. So for the Rambam, love is definitely emotional, psychological. But for him, the passionate emotional love emerges from the intellectual love, right? From the intellectual understanding, it's shaped, right? I'll just read Rai Lam's summary. Right, the branches of wisdom and learning are not necessarily limited to the natural sciences, although they certainly include them. Right, the Rambam definitely thinks that understanding nature is part of it. According to Maimonides, our responses to nature must lead us to and be shaped by proper and correct philosophical speculation. Now that's the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah. The Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvah also thinks that the love of God emerges from understanding God, but in the Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam doesn't say that it comes from understanding nature. Where does it come from the Rambam? Contemplating the Torah and mitzvot. Right? The Rambam is two different things. In both places, he thinks that the emotional will be a product of intellectual speculation, right, of reflection. But in the Mishneh Torah, he focuses on understanding nature and being overwhelmed by the grandeur of the natural world. And again, that was... How many times did we mention this last year in CERN, Gavi? A lot. There you go. A lot. That's a good answer. A lot. I have no idea how many, but I definitely mentioned it. Rai Ginsburg mentioned it. Rai Chait mentioned it. Gerald Schroeder mentioned it multiple times. Right? He talked about the love of God he felt when he saw his first nuclear explosion. Right? His Yom Kippur drasha based on having seen a nuclear explosion. He's a nuclear physicist, right? Yeah, I think so. Right? Ray said that was his speech at Harvard. Yeah. His Yom Kippur speech at Harvard was what he learned from watching a nuclear explosion. So one level of it is the reflection of God based on nature. And the other one, the Rambam says, is the love of God that comes from reflecting on Torah, and mitzvot. So now, Rabbi Lam here deals with the question that many people have dealt with, which is, well, which one did the Rambam really mean? Meaning, in the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam mentions only the love coming from nature, and then in Sefer HaMitzvot, he adds from the love that comes from contemplating Torah and mitzvot. So which is it, right? Right? Which is it? Because in Mishneh Torah, he only mentions nature, and Sefer HaMitzvot, he equates Torah and nature as both equal sources of that. Fodder for, right, that intellectual fodder to create the emotional relationship. So which is it? Right, so what do you think? Right, what do you think? How do you answer this? How do you answer this contradiction? Right, the fact in the Mishneh Torah, he only mentions nature as what leads you to love of God, and the Sefer HaMitzvot, he includes Torah as well. Mishneh Torah in his halachic work. What? So it's a bit complicated. So in Mor Nebuchim, the Rambam also only mentions nature, right? He says, with regard to all the other correct opinions concerning the whole of being, the Torah, albeit does not direct attention towards them in detail, does so in summary fashion by saying to love the Lord. You know how this is confirmed in the dictum regarding love, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, right? We've already explained in the Mishneh Torah that his love becomes valid only through the apprehension of the whole of being as it is, and through the consideration of his wisdom as it is manifested in it, right? So in the Mishneh Torah, in the Mor Nebuchim, the Rambam also seems to say that it's only the, right, this is Chel Gimel Perek Chavchet, where it's only nature. However, elsewhere in the Moreh, he does go back to mitzvot, and he suggests that that mitzvot leads to Yirat Hashem, whereas philosophy leads to Avat Hashem. And he writes, as for the opinions the Torah teaches us, namely the apprehension of his being and his unity, may he be exalted, these opinions teach us love, as we explained several times. You know to what extent the Torah lays stress upon love with all your heart. For these two ends, namely love and fear, are achieved through two things. Love, through opinions taught by Torah, meaning philosophy, which include apprehension of his being as he is in truth, while fear is achieved by means of all actions prescribed by the Torah, as we've explained. So it does sound like for the Rambam, ahava, right? You could read this as saying ahava comes from understanding philosophy and nature, and it's corrected with yira by mitzvot, right? For contemplating Torah. But Roy Lamb suggests that really you should understand the Rambam differently. And he says that maybe the difference is between the average person and the elite, which for the Rambam is often, right, the different ways that he has of doing things. So he writes, the average man or woman is expected to observe all the actional commandments, the halakha and all their details. Performing these prescribed actions, in addition to comprehending the otherwise profound philosophical ideas concerning God presented in a simple manner by the Torah, is enough to give this average person the wherewithal to conduct his or her life in an orderly, moral, and civilized manner, and with an awareness of the basic ideas that characterize Judaism. The mitzvah will guide such a person onto the right path, consistent with his or her intellectual capacity. The elite, however, whose curiosity and intellectual ability raise them above the rest of their peers, are expected to strive for a far higher standard, beyond the limits set by the Torah for the others. Indeed, such a person must aspire to understand the most refined conceptions of the deity and his attributes. In Sefer HaMitzvot, which as the name indicates, deals with the enumeration of the commandments, Maimonides is writing for the ordinary Jews who wish to observe what is required of them and what is within their ability to understand. The very mitzvah that connects such people to the service of God, the behavioral commandments, together with the Torah's summary of God's major attributes, constitute the source of their love for God. And to the extent that their ability permits, they may also draw inspiration from nature and its reflection of the imponderable wisdom of the Creator. But their primary source for religious inspiration remains the commandments, and of course the Torah, of which they form a part. However, the Mishnah Torah seems to contradict our thesis. Right. So first of all, his first suggestion is that maybe the average person, the level of love and commitment they have to God comes from Torah and mitzvot, and understanding philosophy and science directly, and contemplating the essence of God through the natural world, that's what most people can't handle. Right. So that's his first suggestion, which is both are true. The basic level is Torah, that's Shavu'ot Chol Nefesh, that's why God gives the Torah to everybody. But the higher level, right, if you want to move past that and really get to God's essence, you need to understand God's essence through creation, through philosophy, and things like that. Right, that's Rabbi Lamb's first suggestion to deal with the Rambam. The problem, as he notes, is that the Mishnah Torah, that would be true if you only found the nature thing in the Mor Nevuchim. Except the Mishnah Torah, which is his halachic work, is also, so to speak, for the average person. Right? So it's a little bit weird to leave it out from the Mishnah Torah. So what he suggests is maybe that maybe even in the Mishnah Torah this is true. That maybe in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam is at least telling the laity, right, the average person, in theory what they could achieve. In practice, most people, the level of love they will God is of God that they'll have is through contemplation of the Torah. But he wants them to at least be aware that there's another level out there. He just doesn't expect everyone to do it. So Rai Lam suggests that maybe that's what the Mishnah Torah is doing. Is it it's mentioning it, right? It's still acknowledging, like in the Sefer Mitzvot, that for most people, mitzvot is the practical way that they're going to love God, but it wants to set the ideal out, that once you've contemplated Torah, to actually get to fuller love and fear of God, you do need to delve into philosophy and understand nature and the like. So for the Rambam, it's clear that love is the product of the intellectual, right? And we've talked a little bit about whether that's mitzvot or nature or both or two different levels. As I mentioned, it's pretty clear that for the Rambam, it's not purely intellectual. It's intellectual, which provides a basis for an emotional love. And I'll read you the English because Rilam translates it, but this is the Rambam in Perek Yod al Chavav Vilchot Tshuva. Just to make it clear, the Rambam does think that it'll lead to emotional love. So this is what he writes. What is the proper kind of love? When one loves God with very powerful, great, and overflowing love, such that his soul is bound up in the love for God, and he finds himself constantly thinking about it, as if he were lovesick for a woman, such that his mind is never distracted from loving and thinking about her constantly, whether sitting or standing, whether eating or drinking. It is well known that the love for the Holy One does not become bound up with the heart of man until he thinks about it constantly and properly and abandons everything in the world except for it, as it were commanded, with all your heart and with all your soul. One loves the Holy One only with the mind, thus knowing him, for love is in accordance with knowledge. If little knowledge, then little love. If much knowledge, then much love. Therefore, must a person dedicate himself to understand and comprehend the branches of wisdom and learning that inform him about the Creator according to his capacity to understand and attain. So, right, what it seems pretty clear, so the Rambam, right, doubles down on this conviction that love comes from, is a product of intellectual reflection, but it's also clear from his mashal to the love of a woman that he expects that a person who properly develops love for God is not going to just remain at the level of contemplation. He will, right, it will inspire him to actually have emotional love. Okay? So just to summarize what we've seen in the Rambam, is that the Rambam, what does the Rambam definitely not quote? What is love for the Rambam not? Action. Right, for the Rambam, it's, right, emotional or intellectual. Okay? If I had to say what it is for the Rambam fully, it's an emotional love that emerges only from the intellectual, right? He doesn't want a run-of-the-mill emotional love. He wants a thought-out emotional love, right? But what exactly is the intellectual part that leads to it? So there the Rambam quotes two different things. One is contemplation of nature, right, and philosophy, and one is contemplation of the mitzvot, Torah and mitzvot. Right, reflection about them. Right, Lamb's suggestion is that it's the elite. The run-of-the-mill person should start with mitzvot. The elite will eventually get past that and see like the essence of God to whatever extent you can in creation. You could go in other ways, right? You could say, okay, he just mentioned one here and one there, and it's both, right? Or the way I've heard it from, you know, or based on other places in Rambam, you could suggest that Torah and mitzvot help you shape the way you think. But once you, Torah and mitzvot help you, right, shape the way you think, then you can directly tackle philosophy and science in a Torah perspective, and that will lead to love or something like that. In addition to that, we noted one other position today, which was the position of the Sifrei and Chazal, that it may not only mean you should love, but it may also mean that you should bring other people to love, but you still have to define what that love is, right? So today we focus on that philosophical side of this equation. We also noted that for the Rambam, love isn't just love, right? It's a love-fear continuum, right? That as you love, you come closer, you desire to come closer, but the more you understand, the more you pull back, and there's this constant pendulum of feeling I want to be close, but realizing you can't be close, and that moving back and forth, the Rav really describes beautifully in Vikashna Misha. Maybe I'll try to remember to find my copy and read that quote for you next week. Let's stop there for now. We're going to see that there are going to be others who focus all the way to the other extreme, that love is not emotional, it's action-based, and then obviously we're going to see people who say, no, you're missing the point. Love is both emotions and actions, or actions that are fused with emotion or something like that. But for now, we've seen basically